Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live and in color. This is Mr. Glenn Greenwich calling from, dialing in from New York City, Jamaica, Queens. And we've got an interesting show for you tonight. I'm on single parenting. It's about single households, parenting, and what it takes. So we're going to talk a little bit about Tyler Perry's movie and what it presents, and what it is looking at in terms of the impact to our society. And so those are some of the things that we're going to be talking about tonight. So those of you in the chat room, please dial in, and let me introduce my co-host, Henrietta Bird out of Chi-Town. Welcome to the show, Henrietta.
Thank you, sir. I love it when you introduce me, Glenn. You make me feel like the guest. Thank you. Thank you very much. And yes, it's still cold in Chicago.
Well, we got a cold blast. It was 57 degrees yesterday, and it is in the 30s today. So significant, very significant.
Yeah, but we had that thing.
You had that what?
We had the same thing. I think it was 50, it's over 50, and then it's 20 today.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, yours was a little bit more severe than ours, but we might even get snow tomorrow, so that's what that's
Yeah, we had snow last night. We had snow last night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me do the declaration, and then we can get the show on the road.
Okay.
As they say, pay some bills and get some stuff out of the way.
Right, I can do it for him.
Okay, all right, great.
I will do it, thank you. The Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There's nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation about and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7, 1991, March 16, 2014. In Chicago and in New York, north, south, east, west, above, below, within. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. And Glenn, it's the fourth paragraph in the declaration that we are speaking about tonight. Say we declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. That's to me where the topic lands tonight. It lands in a couple of other places, But it really lands there, because not being a single parent, but I you know, that's how it came up. But I heard it differently. I heard it single and parent, you know, because in all actuality, everybody has two parents. But we are single, okay, and parenting, you know. And I think that kind of takes the victim mentality, you know, kind of takes that stigma off of it to a degree, like there's something wrong with it or something different, or it's not normal, you know, like that.
I think that you're absolutely right, and I think that one of the things that we have to look at the dynamics of things that are changing, things that are occurring. Most of us over 50 and over had two parents coming up, and that was mm-hmm. the norm. The norm has changed. The norm no longer is that the case. It has to do with socio and economic times that have changed, environments that have changed, and has left a lot of communities of color with single parenting. So we're left with that as the norm. And as a society, as a family unit, as the head of household, we now have to deal with that and, you know, and make some hard decisions and hard choices around that. And, mm-hmm. you know, and it's not easy. And so I think part of the issue is that we don't have any role models that way, you know, because most of society hasn't had to do that. So, you know, we're taking a two-parenting household and we're trying to, you know, reformulate it to a single-parent household, and how do you do that? And I shouldn't say that we don't have examples, because, of course, there's always been single parents that have been able to raise their kids and have their kids show up powerfully in society, but as more and more of that becomes the norm, it shifts how we as a society get to and have to interact with that parenting.
Right.
So I'm going to stop there for a second and give it back to you, Henrietta. And we also have someone on the line. And let me see if they are looking to, if you'd like to get on, press 1, and we will open up your mic. We've got a couple of listeners, and we also have some available lines if you're in the chat room. You can call in at 646-716-9827, and when you do that, when you do come in, press 1 and we'll open up your mics. So I'm going to give it back to you, Henrietta.
Thanks, Glenn. And before we go any further, like Glenn says, we need to pay a few bills and let everyone know that this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. And this year, our annual summit event is in Belize. And we invite you to go to the website, blacksummit.org, and register for the Belize Annual Summit event. And you're like, register? I don't even know what it's about. Well, registration will put you in that inquiry, and you will begin to find out what it's all about. Summit Shares, we're having a summit share, a virtual summit share this Saturday, and you know, you should be able to get information at blacksummit.org. So just go to blacksummits.org and join the network and get the information that you need. We're having a summit share this Saturday, a virtual summit share. So it will be on WebEx, and it will also be via conference call. So you can either call in with your phone, or you can go to a computer device through WebEx. Find out all the information you need to find out. And that summit share, my understanding is that a virtual summit share is on the 22nd of March, and it's at 1 p.m. And I'll have that information and those numbers for you before this show is over. Okay? So believe, just remember, we are going to Belize in South America this year. All righty. So this topic came up, of course, because, you know, I love Tyler Perry, and I love the work that he does, and I always love the lessons that his movies, the lessons that they teach, let me speak for myself, because in the summit we do encourage that we speak from the I. That's one of our tools that we use, is to speak from the I. And for me, I love the lessons that I learned from Tyler Perry movies and plays. Well, yes, Friday, Tyler Perry had a movie come out, and it is called The Single Moms Club. And it was very, very good. A very good movie in many, many, many ways. It was different in that it took you places, but it didn't leave you there. You know, sometimes movies can take you to a space and you're just there, you know. But this movie, it kind of took you there where you were like it was right there with you, an experience I'm talking about that you had previously, but it didn't keep you there. It moved you right to something different very quickly, which was very good, you know. 12 Years a Slave kind of took me there and left me there a little bit longer than I wanted to stay. But this movie reminded me of many of the hills I've climbed as a single parent, you know, as a person who is single, who parented as a single person. And, you know, it just reminded me of a lot of things. It reminds you that, you know, single parenting comes with a lot of challenges. And those challenges are experienced by married people as well. They're experienced by two-parent homes. They're just challenges. They're challenges that come with parenting. But the movie really let you know some of the unexpected things that occur when a person is faced with single parenting in whatever economic class they're in. Because he really covered, he covered the gamut, you know. And it was really interesting. And hopefully there will be a part two and a part three and a whatever, so that, because it's more like a conversation that, you know, like the International Black Summit, and a conversation that will continue. In the movie, I saw one gentleman. All the rest were female. And there was one gentleman who was sitting right in front of us, Glenn, and he was as quiet could be. And, you know, we were trying to figure out, there were three of us. Everybody, we saw him, but, you know, and everybody kind of on their own were kind of wondering, like, what the deal was, right? And so when I made up, you know how you make up stuff, I made up that either he was management or he was someone who was there to make sure nobody was bootlegged in the movie. You know, I just made up all kind of, I made up all kind of stuff while this man was in the theater. You know, he was by himself or whatever. And so when the movie was over, well, you know, we just started talking to him. And I hope he's in a position to call in tonight, because I invited him to be the guest tonight so he could talk about the movie from a male perspective, because, you know, what he said to us was he was interested in seeing the movie. And he was interested in seeing the movie because his mom was a single parent. And I can't tell you how old he is. I would really be guessing because it was dark. I really couldn't see. But he was a young man. I will say that, you know. And my guess is that he's somewhere between maybe 25 and 35. But I'm guessing. I really don't have a clue. But I hope that he calls in. And he does have a 312 number, Glenn, 312 and a 9. So if you see that number, that's him. I hope he gets a chance to share. But the movie gave four examples. Do we have anybody who wants to speak yet, Glenn?
Not at this point in time.
Okay. Okay, just let me know. And
okay.
The movie gave four examples. Five examples. One Hispanic mother, two African American mothers, and two Caucasian mothers. One was working in a restaurant. One was a real hot. Hello.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. One was had a real, you know, high power career as an attorney, was trying to make partner. One was I think she was a stay at home mom. Yeah. One was a writer. Another one was maybe two were stay-at-home moms. Yeah. So it kind of, you know, like, spread across. And what the movie dealt with was their careers. It dealt with their, you know, becoming a support group for each other. It dealt with their family. It dealt with the divorces, because a couple of them were going through divorce. It dealt with their lack of them not being in relationships. Only one out of the five was actually in a relationship, and she was trying to hide that. And so it was really, really interesting. I didn't want to spoil it for anybody, but in order to discuss it, I have to share, you know, like what the movie was about. And I do suggest that everybody goes to see it, because it's a very good lesson on how to support one another, whether it's parenting or whatever. Because when this group of women got together, they were able to help each other in many, many ways. And what they had in common, how they all met, was all of their children were around the same age. They went to the same school. And it was a really good private school. And so, you know, they had paid tuition to go there. They had done the one little boy who lived in a rural area, he got into the school, you know. The other ones kind of paid the tuition to get in the school. But they all of the children got in trouble. Together, they got in trouble. And the they kind of defaced the property. And when you get into that kind of trouble, the rule is your child either gets kicked out of the school or you have to raise money for the school. So that's how the Single Moms Club got started. All five of these parents had to become a committee to raise money for the school. And in doing so, they were able to help each other. And it wasn't easy because, one was very racist, you know, kind of racist, not even understanding that she was, just not understanding how someone could be bold enough to wear leggings. You know, it was really good. You know, she just did not understand how a person could just do certain things, not look a particular way, you know. But all of them had these challenges, and all of them, of course, none of them had time for men. And they just didn't take time. It was just not something that they thought about, except for this one young lady. When it came to the men that were involved, the challenges that the women had to go through was one of them, her husband was paying, even though they were divorced, he was still paying for the house. And he told her that she could not have any male company, and if she did, he would stop paying for the house. And she had never taken him to court or anything. They just separated. He had remarried, and he was continuing to take care financially of the ex-wife and the son. The daughter. That was one scenario. Another scenario was the mom was a writer, and she was trying to get her book published. And she was, you know, she was one who wasn't dating, didn't have time, you know, like whatever. And her ex-husband was, they didn't talk about him. He just never showed up whenever he was supposed to come and meet. Pick up the son, he would always say he was coming, and he never showed up. And she was so used to it that she would let the little boy wait for his dad, and then after he had waited for a certain period of time, she would drive up just to see if he was still there, and he would always be sitting there. And so she would just come and, like, make it all right. Like, let's just go with mommy. Like, you know, like, I'm coming to get you. So, you know, it was like that. And then she, of course, had to deal with the son and his feelings of unworthiness because the dad never showed up. Then there was another scenario where the little girl was involved in everything. Everything, you know, ballet, this, it's just everything that she could be involved in. And the mother was trying to make partner, and the little girl just felt like, you know, the mother really didn't care for her because she never spent any time with her. She just took her from one place to the next, you know. And then there was a little boy whose older brothers were both in prison, and so the mother really kept tight reins on him because she didn't want anything that, she didn't want him to turn out like his brothers, and that's why she had gotten him into this school and, you know, was trying to show him a great way. And then there was another woman who had three children, and her when her divorce went through, because her husband was an attorney, he won, and most of the money and most of the, you know, everything and what she was left with, she didn't have, she couldn't keep herself at the standard of living that they were. So she had to get rid of her housekeeper, get rid of her maid, you know, her babysitter. She had to start raising her own children. And so that was something she had never done before, you know. And so those were the scenarios. And it was really interesting how they worked through it to kind of help each other. Let me just take a moment and say this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and we are headed to Belize in the first weekend in August. And go to blacksummit.org and find out whatever you need, especially about the upcoming virtual summit share on March 22nd. Okay? And you're on with Glenn and Henrietta, and our topic tonight is single and parenting. So,
well,
Glenn,
I'm gonna take it out of the movie mode for a second, just before I do that, so in your estimation, was the movie entertaining? Was it also thought-provoking and fun?
All three. All of the above.
Okay, good. Okay, good. Because as our listeners, as a moviegoer, you wanna have those elements there. Now, as mm-hmm. we look at this whole conversation of parenting, you know, one of the things I got from your sharing is the support structure. And
yeah.
And it's interesting because the support structure, the dynamics of that support structure changes when you go from two-parent household to single-parent household, and it goes dramatically. And so one of the things that is interesting that I heard in this is that the single moms club was able to establish this partnership amongst each other, and were able to, and from what I gleaned from the advertisement, because I did not see the movie, it was about strangers getting together, and, you know, of course, based on what you said as well, strangers getting together and partnering up and sharing the workload. You know, one of the things that we look at, you know, you talk about family values and parenting in general, and, you know, the African model is it takes a village to raise a child. And
mm-hmm.
at one point in time, I think that was very much the case. When I look back to the community that I grew up in here in Jamaica, Queens, and I looked at, again, two family households, but even if they weren't, we were support for each other. We'd check in on each other. We'd look in on each other. We certainly shared the parenting, because if I did so, if one of my neighbors saw me doing something wrong, they'd confront me at that point in time, and then I would also have to deal with my parents when I got home. So yeah, there was this duality of, you know, I better watch my back and be very conscious of what I'm doing and what I'm doing out in the public, because there were many more eyes out there than I could account for. And so the smart money was on, don't take the risk.
Yeah.
Now, part of the shift in dynamic, you know, and I kind of watched this with my sister, and, you know, even though I've been very critical of my sister, I can't imagine what it must be like for her to be raising three children in this day and age without any help from the fathers. And so when I look at that, and yes, you know, I may have made some different choices in terms of the parenting, but one of the things that I cannot do is say what it is for her and what are the choices that she's making, because I don't know what all of those are. Looking from outside, looking in, you know, like I said, I there's some things I think could be done differently, but again, I can't walk in her shoes because I don't know what it's like, and I haven't delivered three kids into the world and have to take care of them by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a tremendous, tremendous pressure. And going back conversation, it's important to have a support structure, a place that you can speak into, that you can feel confident, secure, because one of the things that I find, and it's not true of all single parents, but single parents are very possessive in terms of, or not possessive, wrong word, protective.
Yeah.
And what I find is that they are the lion cub, the mother lion and the lion cubs, and get very protective and very territorial. And the thing that's interesting for me is that in this new age, one of the things that has changed is that parents are not as likely to accept parenting from anybody else other than themselves. And for me, this now can cause a rift in the whole conversation of the village raising the child. And I think that that's one of the things that is much different than the time that I grew up in, and also hampers the ability or the likelihood of people monitoring and dealing with other people's children from the neighborhood or friends and so forth. So I think that there seems to be a hands-off mentality around parenting in this day and age. So I'm going to leave it there for a second and see what the comments are. And listeners, if you'd like to jump in on this, press 1 and we can open up your mic again. Chat room, we've got some available lines open, 646-716-9827. If you'd like to share or comment, please do so by pressing 1 once you get in. Back to you, Henrietta.
Thanks, Glenn. It's, you know, it's real interesting because I had two conversations today, and both of them were with play into our single and parenting. And both of them were very long conversations, because that's one of the things that I've noticed that single parents do. You know, when they get a chance to be with adults and have a conversation, they take advantage of it, you know. And in that conversation, most of the time, we're listening to one another. We don't do a lot of sharing. We do more listening. We do both. We do sharing and we do listening. But most of the time, it's listening, because there's always so much to listen, you know, to hear. And we assure one another that we're okay, you know, and that, yeah, it's challenging, and yes, you know, but my belief, Glenn, is when this idea of single parenting came about, it was just like the idea of a two-parent home. There were people that were equipped to do the two-parenting, and there are people who are equipped to do the single parent thing, you know. And when I look at kind of like the evolution of the generations, you know, my daughter will be 26 very soon. And when she was in first grade, and she went to the you know, she went to a very, what do you call it? She went to one of the schools like that was in the movie, actually. It was a selective enrollment school. And you had to, not only did you have to test in, you had to be at 100% on the test to get in this particular school. And that was just for first grade. And there were only three parents in this school. And this is the number one school in the state of Illinois. I think there were only three children that came from two-parent homes.
How many? Only three.
And I'm talking 19 years ago. So this is not something that's new. This is something that has been going on for quite a while. Quite a while. You know, in her different group, there were, you know, she was not the only person who came from a one-parent, you know, what is considered a one-parent home. And that was 19 years ago. You know, she was in organizations that were really geared toward two-parent families. And many of my, you know, many of the other mothers in these certain organizations were unmarried or divorced or separated or whatever. And so, you know, like the movie shows, is that, you know, you may set out to be in a two-parent home. You may set out to do that, but that doesn't mean that's the way it's going to happen. You know, I think one of the parents, I think she was, you know, it was like a sperm donor. I think that's how she got pregnant. So there was no, you know, there was no father there. She, you know, I think she went to a sperm bank. Or they alluded to something like that for her. But it was really interesting how this thing has evolved. one of the conversations I was having earlier today with one of my friends was the frustration, you know, we were discussing the frustration of having a child whose other parent is not what you want them to be. They are not as involved as you would like them to be, or they don't contribute financially the way you want them to be. And see, you know, one of the things that we got to in our conversation was, did you check that out before you slept with him? No, you don't. You know, you don't do that. You know, we don't do the kind of things that we, like, people are doing now. And when I say evolved, single people now, they check out people that they sleep with. That didn't happen even 15 years ago. It didn't happen. You know, and in many cases now it's not happening, but now the more conversations we have about it, people are actually checking the person out that they're sleeping with. They're finding out what they like and what they don't like and what kind of family they come from and how they treat their other children or how they take care of their parents or not, or some of the things that will kind of give you insight as to what kind of parent they will be. One of that was, you know, in the case of three or four of these women, was not knowing what kind of parent this other person was going to be, you know. And so, you know, we were talking about that. You know, we had to admit we did not go in depth in looking at, you know, looking into certain things about people. Now that opportunity is there because of all the challenges that people have had over the years. And now this younger generation, they're checking out people. You know, we Glenn, I tell you about this, we have a relationship gathering on Monday here in Chicago. And one of the people actually said that they go in depth in checking out anybody that they get. I mean, anybody that they date. You know, they do background checks. They do. I mean, it's just amazing the things we would never even think of doing. I mean, there are people who've been married 50 years who don't know the kind of information that the younger generation knows about the people that they date now. So, you know, I think it has really been, you know, I think that, you know, our experiences have taught the younger generation how to do things differently, but the single parenting thing is real interesting.
Well, you know, it's interesting what you said, and with the evolution of technology, certainly people are able to find out more about people. People reveal themselves a little bit more on Facebook, mm-hmm. and Instagram and Twitter and so forth as well. So you really have a sense of insight before, I guess, you get involved.
You know, that responsibility, Glenn, you know, it's like men, not just the women, but men as well, because I know a lot of men who are single and parenting, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But a lot of them did not do the research, you know, a lot of us. That we just didn't do the research, and so we have to kind of admit, okay, you know, I didn't do my homework. And so I can't be the victim of something that I, you know, I could have actually done better in ahead of time. No, that doesn't mean, it doesn't mean certain things, but we can't continue. One of the things we got to today was that we can't continue to expect a person to do something that they never really wanted to do in the first place, you know. And had we had a conversation with them, we would have known that. You know, or if we had taken more time to develop the relationship, we might have known. You know, we might have known that. Now, that doesn't mean we would have not had a child or would have had a child. It just means we might have known a little bit more about the person, and maybe we would have made some different choices. You know, that's one of the things that comes out every week. You know, every week there's a person in the group who would not, under any circumstances, date someone who does not attend church. That's like a bottom line. Mm-hmm. And the church that has the same belief that they have. You know, and so it's real interesting, but, you know, I don't want to get totally off of the movie, even though it's still in the same vein, but one of the things that comes out in the movie that usually has been my experience is when you start to share, you can always help each other. One of the things that they do is they realize that none of them have a life outside of their work and their children. And that's common with single parents, you know. And what they decide to do first is have a night out. So one person watches all of the children and everybody else goes out. And that's how they start to have fun. And I mean, they have fun. They have a lot of fun. And then they start, you know, they're working on this fundraiser. And when they look at it, the people that they need to help them do the fundraising are all people that they already know, but they're people they haven't paid attention to. And, okay, and so now these people that they're asking to help them with the fundraiser are potential relationship partners, you know. And so it's real interesting how, you know, they just start to become aware. Like, everything you need, it's kind of like everything you need is always right in front of you, and that's the way it is, you know. It's really, really, you know, they kind of cross the lines, the barriers that separate them in order to put this fundraiser together, and they find out that they can really help each other because when, you know, they become friends and they start to communicate, they can say things, you know, like, I just don't understand how you do it. You know, I don't understand, you know, I don't understand how do you like, you know, one question is, do you even like men, you know? And she's like, yeah, I love them, but I just don't have time. You know, I just don't have time. And it was like nowhere in her consciousness did she have time to talk to a man, you know. And so they start to help each other get past the things that have kind of blocked them as far as relationships or the way to deal with their children or the way to deal with their exes or, you know. And it's really good and really interesting. Are there any callers that have comments?
No one's got their hand up. But one of the things you triggered for me is one of my favorite quotes from Dr. Wayne Dyer: "Change the way you look at things, and the things you look at will change." And so, what you're speaking to is really transformation, because what they're doing is they've altered their lives in a way that such that the things around them begin to shift, and they are able to look at relationships. And I'm gonna let me break this down to some of the stations or terms that we use inside of the International Black Summit. So sometimes you're triggered into this automatic way of being. So a trigger is your automatic always way of being with a particular thing. And so what it sounds like is where these folks started were in trigger. So they were automatically, you know, going to work and coming home and taking care of the kids, and there was no other action that was taking place. And because they were forced to now come together to put on this fundraiser, it got them outside of their norm. And they had them begin to work together in ways that they hadn't had to prior to the event. And so in so doing, they began to discover strengths and weaknesses and options and choices that they didn't have before. So they began to see some, what we'll say is some possibilities that didn't exist, that were there, but they didn't see them because they weren't forced to come outside of their trigger. And so so again, one of our distinctions is no right way to be. So when you're no right way to be, you begin to look at other opportunities and other ways of being that you hadn't considered, so that you can then begin to take and glean the opportunities that life was bestowing to you. And so so in this case, it sounds like they were able to do that. They were able to work together with each other in ways that supported each other, but also began to have them notice people in their lives that they hadn't noticed before. So, wow.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, it's really good how they just help each other, and they just come to themselves because they're watching the other person like, how do you do that? And they show them. They show them how they do it. You know, one of the funniest things is when the girl who lives in the city, okay, they're going to this house for this meeting for the, you know, to meet about the fundraiser. And this is the woman whose house they went to was the one with the three children. And so the baby crying and the little two-year-old is turning around in circles. And the other child is just being wonderful. Other mom comes in and she's like looking around, and the mother who lives in the house is just pulling her hair out because she can't stop the baby from crying. She can't stop the little one from turning around. And so she comes in and she picks up the baby and talks to the baby, and the baby quiet, you know, gets quiet. She tells the little two-year-old, sit in this chair right here. And the little one gets in the chair and quiet. You know, she just comes in and takes over. And this is the one who's lost in the divorce and can't afford, you know, to whoever they used to have. She had to let them go. And so she looked at the woman, and everybody was thinking, okay, she's going to start working for her, right? And she looked at the woman like, oh, my God. And the woman says to her, she said, if you ask me to be your nanny, I'm going to slap the mess out of you. And it was hysterical because that's what everybody was thinking, you know. And she's like, I'm going to, and she doesn't say mess. She said, if you ask me, I'm going to slap the out of you. And it's just funny. She said, you can do it. She said, you know, like, if I can do it, you can do it. You just do this, and you just do this, and you just do that, you know. But she had never had to do it before because she always had other people doing it for her, you know.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And, But it's just really good on transformation is exactly what it is. How do you go from point A to point B? You know, how do you get there? And they do. They help each other get there.
One of the things, and I was talking with somebody else about the movie earlier today, and I invited them to the show, but they decided not to. I thought that it was. I'm glad that Tyler Perry is doing this. I love Madea. Don't get me wrong, but I'm tired of Madea. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
So glad that he is taking on. Even though Madea does take on a lot of the social issues, but I like that he has taken this particular approach on. And I understand that the have and the have-nots is also another way of him displaying his talents, because he's a very talented man, very, very talented film director and producer. And so I'm happy to see and to have him doing this work that's making a difference. So I'm happy that the film was so successful, and I look forward to some more of his works like this. I saw what was the one about getting married and going into and I thought those were good as well, because it was something different. It was, I think he's got a lot to say, and I'm glad that he did this one because I think that this one really can connect to a lot of people who are out there bringing up, who are doing their parenting and giving them some additional options for them to do some things differently. So I will definitely make it a point to get out and check it out, and I also will let folks that I know to go check it out, because I think that it definitely sounds like there's something there available for single parents.
Yeah. Definitely. Glenn, how's Belize coming? I met a girl Friday night from Belize, and she lives here, but she's going there in July, she said. And so, we're going to get together often, kind of talk about it. So when she's there in July, hopefully that she'll be, able to, do some things with us. I'm hoping that she can stay for the summit. And I'm not totally sure, because her plan is to go in the month of July. But I'm looking forward to it, like really, thinking about it more and more. Like August will be here in a moment, So get to blacksummer.org and register yourself and join us at the annual event. And this is the 24th. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, this is the 24th annual event. And so, take some time out. Ask us some questions. Join us every Sunday here, every Sunday, same time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. And find out what you need to know. We continue to celebrate women in the month of March, and the wonderful contributions that they make to this universe. So once again, congratulations to all women everywhere. We thank God for you. And as I've heard many men say, can't live with you, can't live without you. So as we come to a close tonight, just wanted to acknowledge the wonderful women everywhere. Glenn.
Yes, absolutely. And for me, tonight, again, just an acknowledgement of all of the great women and men who are single parenting out there, who have made a difference, who continue to make a difference, and have had to do it on their own. And I just wanted to acknowledge them and to say how important it is to have our children be taken care of, and look for the opportunities to get the support that you need as a single parent. You know, don't be ashamed. Don't feel like you are insufficient, because there are plenty of that are willing to support you, and it sounds like this movie was kind of a demonstration of that, how you throw some people together and the outcome is a very positive, the sum of the individual, the sum of the whole is greater than the sum of the individuals. And so I think that that's what got demonstrated, and that's available for you if you look. So on that note, that's kind of what I want to say and want to leave you with for tonight. Any closing thoughts for you?
No, you summed it up. You summed it up perfectly. But just acknowledgement, you know, praise and celebration of single parents, or parents who are single, or who are parenting. I like that, you know, single people who are parenting. God bless.
God bless and good night. And we end this session. I look for you next week. Peace and blessings.
Good night.
Good night.